This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and thanks be solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Choices, peace, blessings and salutations upon our master and exemplar Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I hope and pray that you are all well and enjoying this day of Jumu'ah. I'm doing a redo of the Jumu'ah talk today. It's a bit unusual, but what happened was that as soon as I saw the broadcast afterwards, I noticed people saying that the sound was bad, and when I checked the video, it was actually terrible. So there was a problem with the connection, so I thought, let me just do a quick live and explain what the message was really all about, because what is exactly meant by the greatest possible pre-Ramadan gift. Now, I know that it's a bit of a strange topic because, you know, there's nothing in the Sharia specifically about, you know, giving a gift before Ramadan, or is there? So we explored this topic today in Jumu'ah, and I'm going to break it down very quickly, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So number one, I said that, yes, the idea of giving a gift is always good, right? So for example, the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, give gifts, for it will cause love to cultivate between you. Tahabu, right? So give gifts and you will cause love to come forth between one another. So that's the one point. And then the other point is that, you know, you can actually give physical gifts before Ramadan, and that will be a good thing. It's not going to be a bad idea. Some examples of this is, you know, we would generally give our family a gift of stocking up the cupboards and stocking up the household supplies. And this is fine, although there's a caveat to this. Often what we do is, in Ramadan, we tend to give the family, ourselves included, more groceries and more meals than outside of Ramadan. So our grocery shopping list and our food money is actually so much more in Ramadan. This is actually quite bad, not from a perspective of being, you know, wrong or haram, but it's detrimental to our development. It's detrimental to our self-development. So Ramadan has an element of self-development, which is, you know, basically training the nafs to restrain itself, training the nafs to not indulge in too much, so that it can be accustomed to not just following its own desires, but rather putting the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. That concept right there is the beauty in how fasting actually brings about taqwa. So we know that fasting is going to give us taqwa, but one of the methods in which it does so is actually to train the nafs. So the nafs says, I want, and then you tell the nafs, no, you cannot have, because it's not time for that. The nafs says, I desire, I long for, I crave, but you tell the nafs, no, you cannot desire, you cannot partake, because it's not time for that. Allah wants something else. So you train the nafs to abstain. And this allows the nafs to grow, and it becomes strong like a muscle. You know, you're working out this feature. Then what we do is, the moment we hit Maghrib and the Adhan sounds, then we detrain the nafs. So now everything that we taught the nafs during the day, if we overindulge at Maghrib time, then we're actually telling the nafs, you know what? Because you were good today, now I'm going to reward you by overindulging. And then we make qada of our meals, right? So this is again, it's not haram per se. It can be, but the line is kind of blurred. But it's detrimental to our self-development. So if we're going to give a gift like this in Ramadan, let us do it with wisdom, in that we rather spend the same amount of money. And this is a challenge. I challenge myself, my family, I challenge all of you, to not have additional expenses for food for the month of Ramadan. Eid is a different story, but for the month of Ramadan itself, let us try to have the same expenses for food. So we shouldn't be having extra meals and extra things to eat. Rather, let's just eat the same and just change the times that we eat. And I know for many, this is like absurd, because you have to have your plate of savories and your dates and your faluda and your soup and your buba and your meal and then tarawih and then another meal and then dessert and ice cream and you name it. That's totally, that's absolutely up to you. But this is not going to be ideal for the development of the nafs, right? What we should be doing is actually skipping a meal. So you're having breakfast, but earlier. you're having dinner, but later, and then the lunch is cut out. And this is very different from how we generally approach Ramadan. So that gift you can give yourself as well. Give your family and yourself the gift of really benefiting from the self-development, the tazkiyah to nafs that takes place in the month of Ramadan, intrinsically as part of the training that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Then there is the physical element of gifts. So you could actually purchase some dates, right, packs of dates, go to loved ones, families, friends, and neighbors, and give them a gift of dates before the month of Ramadan. And hopefully, inshallah, they will break their fast with those dates. And man fatara sa'iman, falahu mithlu ajri fa'ilihi. Whoever feeds the fasting person, meaning they actually give them something to break their fast with, then that person will get the same reward as the person who fasted, and it won't diminish in anyone's reward in the least. And this is why we see if you're going to the masjid for Maghrib during Ramadan, people will practically fall over their feet to give you a date and say, yeah, please. You know, and if you go to Medina during Ramadan, people will beg you to come and eat at their sufra, their buka table, so to speak. This is all in light of the fact that we want to get the reward of the fasting people. How much more don't we want the reward of the fasts of all of our family members, friends, and loved ones? So over and above the fact that it will cause love to grow between us, and it will bring good memories and good wishes and so on. It gives us an opportunity to visit family, friends, and neighbors before the month of Ramadan and request dua, for example. We can also give them this gift, which also causes love, and then we will actually get the reward if they break their fast with those dates. So that's an excellent one as far as a pre-Ramadan gift is concerned. There's also other forms of physical gifts, like, you know, you have these pre-Ramadan expos. Nothing wrong with it per se. You know, you can get good deals, good bargains, discounts, etc. That's fine. But instead of only thinking of ourselves and filling our own cupboards and fridges to the point where it's actually more full than any other time of the year, how about we take that as an opportunity to supply the basic needs of those who don't have? So when we go shopping for Ramadan, how about we take a few things extra? It doesn't have to be the most expensive things. It just has to be of a decent quality. And, you know, take it to a family that you know are sort of underprivileged, or a family member who doesn't have as much as the rest of the family, for example. And this can be done discreetly, of course, keeping the people's dignity intact. That's most important. And, you know, the more anonymous that this can be done, in other words, the more you can do it in a way that no one knows you're doing it, not even the people you're giving to, the better it is, inshallah ta'ala. And then, of course, we ask, so what is the ultimate gift for Ramadan? What is the best Ramadan gift, pre-Ramadan gift that we can get? We said it's actually the gift that Allah gives us, amazingly enough. So pre-Ramadan, Allah gives us a month called Sha'ban. And this month that we are currently in is so valuable, it's so important, that the Prophet ﷺ fasted more in this month than any other month. And that includes Muharram, which is actually the best month in which to fast after Ramadan. So when he was asked why he fasted so often and so frequently in Sha'ban, he responded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's a month between Rajab and Ramadan, and many people are unmindful about this month. And in that month, the deeds of the servants are presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I would love for my deeds to be presented to Allah while I'm in a condition of fasting. So that's amazing. That's the gift of Sha'ban in and of itself. And of course, we can follow in the sunnah and fast in the month of Sha'ban, but there's a caveat. What I mentioned in Jumu'ah as well was that the caveat is the Prophet ﷺ actually prohibited sunnah, voluntary, random fasts after the 15th of Sha'ban. So if you want to fast in Sha'ban, you know, to lead up to Ramadan, you can do so now. And if you have a habit of fasting like Mondays and Thursdays, etc., you can continue to do that after the 15th. And if you have fasts to make up for, you know, fard fasts that you miss, that you missed before, that you should also make up, even if it's after the 15th. But I cannot, for example, just decide, okay, it's the 18th of Sha'ban now, so it's after the 15th. I would just like to fast today simply because I want to, or I'm going to start fasting Mondays and Thursdays after the 15th of Sha'ban. Technically, that's not allowed. It's an interesting little caveat. There are many ahadith that speak about this. There's even a chapter in Riyadus Salihin of Imam Nawawi that speaks about this very fact. So if we want to prepare by fasting, then we should do that now already and not wait. And I think it's probably got to do with the fact that you are going to, you know, put your body in a sort of a weaker state if you just start fasting immediately before Ramadan and you're not accustomed to it. As opposed to the people who are accustomed to it, they can fast ahead of Ramadan and they won't necessarily go into, you know, sort of unwanted weakness. Wallahu a'lam. I don't know exactly why the reason is, and I don't think anyone really knows, but we know that that's the rule. There is, however, the ultimate gift. So the title of this talk was actually, what's the best possible pre-Ramadan gift, right? What's the best pre-Ramadan gift? And the answer is that the best pre-Ramadan gift is a three-way deal. Subhanallah. It's a gift from Allah. It's a gift that we give ourselves. And it's a gift that we share with others. And in that way, it's the best gift ever. So how is it from Allah? On the 15th of Sha'ban, the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, which is called Laylatul Nisf min Sha'ban, or Laylatul Bara'a, and in Cape Town, they call it Ru'a, right? I'm sure there's other names for it around the world. But this night is special because on the night, Allah Ta'ala forgives all of creation. But there are some categories of people who are excluded from forgiveness. And the two categories most frequently mentioned are the Mushrik and the Mushahin. So a mushrik is someone who ascribes partners unto God. And this, of course, has different levels. So you have, you know, pure idolatry. So bowing down and worshipping other gods, right? False gods. And then there's also riya, right? Ostentation. Doing things that's supposed to be for God, but you do it to show off to others. Or so that you can gain a reputation with others. So that's a problem. We need to make sure we are free of that in order to qualify for the forgiveness. And then the second category that's most frequently mentioned is the mushahin, those who harbor ill feelings in their heart for others. So this gift of forgiveness that we will all receive, inshallah, on the 15th night of Sha'ban, requires a qualification from us, that we be free of shirk in all of its forms, and that we be free of shuhana, free of these ill feelings that we could potentially harbor for other people. Now, this requires some effort from our side. It's not just wishful thinking. It's deliberate introspection, checking to see if there's anything that I hold in my heart for another, and then doing whatever it takes to remove that rancor, to remove that ill feelings, that enmity, that hatred, the jealousy, the malice, etc., to get rid of it. Now, we have to actively do so by either visiting the person, speaking to the person, giving gifts to the person, having a conversation with the person. Sometimes it means we actually have to go and ask for forgiveness for something that we have perhaps perpetrated. Maybe it's something that others have perpetrated and they never asked for forgiveness. Yet we still need to let go of those feelings because that could potentially stand in the way of our forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then of course, this gift we give ourselves when we let go of those ill feelings. So Allah gives it to us. He gives us His forgiveness. We take the forgiveness by making sure we are not part of those categories. And then thirdly, because we are actually, you know, freeing ourselves of ill feelings towards others, we then cause sulh, we cause reconciliation and love to form between us and others. And in this way, this three-dimensional gift, this three-way gift that we actually are blessed with in Sha'ban is the best possible gift that we could give ourselves and to others and offer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will benefit from it for the sake of Ramadan, inshallah. So what's the gift really going to impact, you know? So you receive a nice gift, let's say you receive a car. The impact of the gift is that you're now mobile. You can go places, you can do things that you perhaps would have struggled to do before. What would you do with pre-Ramadan forgiveness? And amazingly, if you think about it, instead of having to wait for Ramadan to begin, to first deal with, you know, baggage and past sins and perpetrations and bad habits, and instead of struggling to deal with that at the beginning of Ramadan, you can hit the ground running as soon as Ramadan comes in. Once Ramadan enters, we can focus on attaining of the rahmah, of the barakah, of the maghfirah, of the blessings of Ramadan, and we can focus on developing ourselves as opposed to having to focus on tawbah right at the beginning. We could enter Ramadan already with a clean slate, and bi-idhnillah, if Allah wills, with His permission, we can all attain this. We just have to qualify for the night of the 15th of Sha'ban and that special gift. Now, of course, this will be discussed on that night in much greater detail. But I believe that the gift is not just going to be, you know, given to those who on that night decide, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to let go of all ill feelings. It has to be earned with some extra effort before the time, some reflection, some thinking, some pondering. And once we really engage in this effort, I believe Allah will open up the doors for us. So reach out to your family, reach out to your friends, your loved ones. Think about those people who you perhaps had a tiff with in the past. It doesn't matter who started it. It doesn't matter who was in the right and who was in the wrong. It doesn't matter if you tried before. The forgiveness of Allah is worth your while, inshallah. So reach out. You know, whether it be first via a WhatsApp message or a phone call or a video call, of course, optimum would be to actually go and see the person, take all necessary precautions, inshallah, and then just try and move past this hurdle. For we do not want to come on the day of Qiyamah and find out that this litif is the hurdle that stands between ourselves and Jannah. And we do not want to enter into Ramadan only to come and discover on the day of Qiyamah that we did not earn Allah's forgiveness because we were not willing to forgive others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a blessed Sha'ban, a blessed 15th of Sha'ban, a blessed 15th night of Sha'ban, and may we enter into the month of Ramadan with the best possible conditions so that we can actually have the best Ramadan of our lives. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And should this be the last Ramadan of our lives, we pray and we make dua that Ya Allah, let it be enough for us to enter into Jannah just with this one Ramadan, and let us impact our souls so much because of its blessings. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Do join us later. Shukran Ummi Hussein for your beautiful du'as and your words. Much appreciated. Shukran for joining me. This was an impromptu live just to make up for the earlier Jumu'ah, which had some technical issues. And I hope and pray that the message reaches all those who was trying to watch and unfortunately couldn't follow along because of the sound issues there. I do want to tell everyone that later on this evening, inshallah, at 8:30, we have an important live broadcast with Sheikha Ruqayya Samsuddin, who will be telling us about some exciting Arabic and Quran workshops that she has, inshallah ta'ala. So do join us live at 8:30. That's Friday the 19th of March 2021 at 8:30 p.m. Sheikha Ruqayya Samsuddin is an amazing scholar, teacher of Quran, and student of Deen, mashallah, doing excellent work in the community, and one of the leading women in the field of Islamic studies here in South Africa. So we really are pleased to have her with us this evening live, inshallah ta'ala, on the Isnad Academy Facebook page as well as the YouTube channel. So do join us for that and tell your family and friends about it as well. Jazakumullahu khairan wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.